The book of Joshua has been key for me over the past 6 months. I'm so glad that this was the next book in line, and just so many parallels that I've felt where the leader's gone and here's Joshua, and God says, win this battle, and God promises to help Joshua, and Joshua's new at what he's doing. You know, he's new to leading this huge nation with facing all these enemies, all these obstacles, and all through the whole time, God is just like, I'm there. Don't be scared. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. And so if this hasn't helped anybody else out, this study of Joshua, it's been for me specifically, I know, and it's had a lot to do with my decision-making and the process that we have been going through as a family, as a church over the past 6 months. But Joshua chapter 10, if you remember the beginning, it's been a while since we've been in Joshua, at least a week or two. I can't remember exactly when we were here last. But there was a great victory given. Remember, God was fighting for Israel. The huge hailstones were coming, and they were wiping out the bad guys. And we left off with there were some kings that had went into a cave to hide. There was stones rolled over the door of the cave. And so this week, we're going to pick up that story where it was, and we're going to see how God helped Joshua, how God helped the nation of Israel from there. So not a lot of information today, not a lot of content, but it's good stuff that we can find some application in. But let's pray, and then we'll start in verse 22. Dear Father, thank you that we can come again and study your word. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you for the freedom that we have to openly worship you. I pray that you will just help us now. Please give us understanding. Please help us with our day. Please help us to represent you well in all that we do from here on out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Joshua chapter 10, verse 22. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. Remember, the kings were in the cave. Joshua says, bring them out. The kings that had tried to hide in verses 16 through 18, they're in this cave. Joshua says, take the stone away, bring them out. Verse number 23, and they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So there's the kings that are coming out. Verse number 24. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near, and put their feet upon the necks of them. So what's happening? Kings come out, he brings the head honchos of his army. He says, put your feet on the necks of these kings. He uses this as an illustration. He's going to help build their confidence in God. Not that their confidence should have been lacking in God at all after seeing God just give them a huge victory, but he's giving them an illustration. He says, where are we at? Verse 25, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. So what picture, what illustration is being given here? These kings, these big bad kings who used to have big bad armies, they're not big and bad anymore. They're laying on the ground with people's feet on their necks. They're in full submission to whatever Joshua and his army is going to do. So shall the Lord do. Remember, he's given a picture. The bad kings on the ground, foot on their neck. Then what does he say? So shall the Lord do. What's he doing there? He's giving credit to the Lord. The Lord's the only reason that they were able to get those five kings in submission. The odds, the numbers, the landscape, not conducive for this foreign army coming in. But what happens? God gives him the victory. So he's giving credit to God. His trust was in the Lord. He was not afraid to display this to others. All of us would claim, I would think, at least in pub or amongst each other in church, I trust in God. If I ask you, do you trust it? Yes, I trust in God. Joshua here displaying it to all these people openly. He's not ashamed to say, my trust is in God. God gave us his victory. God is giving us this victory. He gave all glory to God. He could have puffed himself up and his army up. I mean, think of what's going on. Joshua is the human figure standing there who's in charge. These commanders are there with their feet on the neck. Joshua could have said, hey, look at me. I got these five bad guys for you guys, and you're standing on them now, and we can take them out. Joshua didn't do that at all. He gave all the credit to God. And with that thought in mind, do we ever rob God of his victories in our lives?
Probably.
Yeah, I did do a good job, didn't I? That could be what... It's God who does it. Psalms 34:2. If you want to turn there, I have to turn there. I don't have it marked. And it's hard to find stuff quickly when everybody's staring at you. Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It's all about God. It's all about lifting God up. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Just a recognizing of the fact of God's role in our lives, God's goodness in our lives, and giving him the credit for that. It's from God. The fact that we can breathe, that's a gift that God gave to us. The fact that we can see, the fact that we can walk and talk, and we can't overlook that that's a gift and that's a blessing from God. Small stuff that we take for granted that's really big. If you all of a sudden can't walk, that's a big deal that you used to be able to walk. And just the fact of we can give God the glory, we should give God the glory for all of it. Let's go on in Joshua chapter 10. We'll look at verses 26 and 27. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave where they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. So they end up executing them. And then what do? They hang their bodies up. Does that sound familiar to Galatians 3? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. These kings were a public display at this point of they were against God. They were accursed by God. They were enemies of Israel. And Joshua made it clear by hanging them up in trees. So there's a little background to cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree from Galatians chapter 3. But he takes them down, puts them in the cave, the very cave where they went to seek safety. They ended up being executed, and that became their grave. So just thoughts there. Verses 28 through 42, faith becomes sight, a promise becomes reality, and they continue defeating the enemy. Remember the promise made in verse 25? For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. That illustration Joshua gave of standing on the necks of these kings. This is what God's going to do. Well, now we get to see it all play out. And if you think about how swiftly these cities are destroyed by this nation of Israel, it's pretty incredible. You can definitely see the Lord delivering them. Verse number 28, and that day Joshua took Machda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them. And all the souls that were therein, he let none remain, and he did to the king of Machda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Utter destruction. That's the picture we're going to keep seeing over and over. Verses 29 and 30. Then Joshua passed from Machda and all Israel with him into Libnah and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho, utter destruction. Verses 31 and 32. And Joshua passed from Libnah and all Israel with him unto Lachish, and encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein according to all that he had done to Libnah. So it appears that this city took 2 days to destroy. It says it took it on the second day. Must have been a bigger, more fortified city. And I've read of other people who tried to conquer this city and they were unable to do it. It's amazing that Joshua and the nation of Israel, with God's help, was able to wipe it out in 2 days. And you can say, well, why did it take 2 whole days? Well, it did. The point is that they beat it. They destroyed it with God's help. Verse 33. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. Horam tries to help, utter destruction for them and also for Gezer as well. So moral of the story, don't try to help the bad guys if you're trying to fight against the nation of Israel, because it didn't work out too well for him. Verses 34 and 35, and from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he had done to Lachish. Utter destruction. You see in the reoccurring theme, it's over and over and over all the way to the end of the chapter. Verses 36 and 37. Did I already read 36 and 37? Okay, 36. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein, he left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. Utter destruction. God just giving the victory, the Lord delivering the enemies into their hands. Verses 38 and 39, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him to Debir and fought against it. And he took it and the king thereof and all the cities thereof. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining as he had done to Hebron. So he did to Debir and to the king thereof as he had done also to Libnah and to her king. More utter destruction. Verse 40 and 41. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea even to Gaza and all the country of Goshen even unto Gibeon. Joshua trusted in God and he went to work. The result, utter destruction of the enemy. Try to find a victorious army like that who did that much destruction in that little of time all throughout history anywhere. It's amazing that God did that victory. Verse 42, I have another thought to go along with that. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. That's a massive military undertaking, especially when you consider the weaponry of the day. It's not like they were dropping nukes on these cities. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't even have guns, for that matter. And they are just utter destruction, just wiping these cities out, wiping these towns out in a day or in 2 days. What was their secret military weapon? God. They had God fighting for them. Verse 43, And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. They all returned victorious. That's a pretty good success rate, a pretty good casualty rate right there when they're all returning victorious. What was the key to the victory? It was God. God was the key. How did Joshua let God work, I guess? He trusted in him. He had confidence in him. God told him to do it. What did Joshua do? But God, that's impossible to beat that many people in that little amount of time. No, he did it. And he led all those people with him. It's interesting to note that God gets all the glory, as he should. In verse 42, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Not because Joshua was such a great leader, not because the people were so great at fighting, they could swing the sword well. It was because God got the victory and God got the glory as he should. So, application, the question, does God receive glory from you? Does God receive glory from me? Psalm 106, and we'll close with this. Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter all the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? We can't adequately utter all his praise. We can't adequately utter all of his mighty acts. But what can we do? We can try our best. We can give God as much praise as we can utter. What is your confidence level in God? Do we live like the Lord will deliver? And we saw that in Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, verse 12, verse 19, verse 30, verse 32, over and over and over repeated, that the Lord will deliver. Do we have the confidence in God that we should have, that God is in control? I rest in you, I trust in you. Whatever your will is, let it be done. And then do we praise him for the fact that we can have that confidence in him? Do we praise him for his mighty acts? Do we praise him simply for the fact that he is God and that he is worthy of all praise? Because he is worthy of all praise. So just two challenges. What's your confidence level in God? And then does God receive glory from you? So let's go ahead and we'll end in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the book of Joshua. Thank you for the stories that you leave us with, the accounts where we can look back and see, wow, God is mighty, God is powerful. God is capable of more than we can ask or think. I just thank you for these reminders. I pray that we will praise you like we should. Pray that we'll love you like we should. Please help us to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand and we'll...